مركز صحابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي فرحان كراني, hope you well this morning.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نتنفذ الحمد لله إن شاء الله.
الحمد لله. مفتي ساب, what's the latest information you can share with us إن شاء الله؟
والعقيدة المتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه أجمعين. قرآن ومن يطع الله ورسوله ومن يطع الرسول many people like that whoever follows Allah and the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم and for them is success and for أولئك هم المفلحون. So our success lies in following the ahadith of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now we find many times in our life we find some difficulty, we end up, we don't know what to do, and we have to look at our lives and see where are we going wrong, where are we abandoning a sunnah, where are we going against the dictates of Sharia, because that's how we land ourselves in problems. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala tests us, even when we're doing everything right, Allah Ta'ala tests to see whether you're firm on the haq, whether you are firm on the sunnah, whether you are firm on practicing on the sharia. And, so Allah Ta'ala tests you sometimes, and sometimes we put ourselves in a predicament where we abandon the sunnah. So people think, no, but it is a sunnah. So, making amal in a sunnah is following the way of Rasulullah, and it is what Allah Ta'ala says to us, that you obey Allah and obey the Rasul. So it is wajib for us, it's farad upon us that we have to obey the sunnah. And because Allah Ta'ala is saying that you must obey me and obey the Rasul. So Nabi Fasan's advices were very simple advices. Yeah? But if we don't follow these advices, then there's a lot of problems for us. And we follow those simple advices, our life becomes very easy. And we complicate our own lives by introducing things into our life. No, we came with this customs from India in a bag, we packed it and came here, and then we can't get rid of those practices. So we have to unpack those bags and see what did we bring with from there, and if those align with the Sharia or not. They don't. Most of the practices we have in our life, they don't align with the Sharia. So then we tend to think, no, this is okay. Like, you know, the mushrikeen, they used to say that our forefathers used to do this. Where do you come with this new ideologies and these new ideas that we must worship one Allah and we must do this and do that? But our father never did it. Our grandfathers never did it. So why must we do it? And so our people have the same mentality, same ideology, that how can it be that my father did wrong? And how can it be my grandfather did wrong? We have to accept that if we find out that, you know, what we're doing is not the right way, this is maybe a custom of the Yahud or custom of the Mushriks or custom of the Nasara, then we should shun it and make tawbah and do the right thing. What is the correct way of doing it? So one simple hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us seven advices. In total, it's 14 advices. Seven do's and seven don'ts. Seven do's and seven don'ts. So in this hadith, it's narrated from Hazrat Bara radiallahu anhu. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised us of seven things and he prohibited us from seven things. So the first thing he advised us on is that we should follow the janazah. Amarana bittiba'il janaiz. Now this is a very great sunnah, right? So, and it's becoming an abandoned sunnah also. So we'll just, inshallah, focus on one by one, if we can see, if we can go through all. So the janazah, when somebody passes away, what is the procedure to be adopted when someone passes away. So when someone passes away, the first thing you're going to do, right, because we're living in the Kufar land, so we have to alert the authorities to get the death certificate. And so those are the formalities. Now, what as a Muslim, what should I do? Right, somebody passes away in the household. First of all, contact the burial services, arrange for the ghusl. Arrange for the ghusl and the kafan of the janazah. So, a person passes away, within 3-4 hours, must be buried. They must be buried. Why do we delay the janazahs? And this is against the sunnah to delay the janazah. That when, as soon as a person passes away, if he's a good person, he wants to go to his qabr. And if he's a bad person, he doesn't want to go there, but we have to make sure that he gets there quickly. And so it is the responsibility of the family to make sure that the janazah ghusl is given quickly and the kafan is given quickly. And so we don't have to wait for people to come from Cape Town and Durban. If they make it, they make it. And we don't have to change the time to accommodate people long after somebody passed away. Somebody passed away, for example, at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now you have the janazah after Isha. Why must we delay so long? No, somebody is coming from Canada. Somebody is coming from here. Somebody coming from there. So we have to wait for them. And so the janazah must be hastened. Give the ghusl. As soon as the doctor confirms, no, this person is deceased. And then now we can proceed. We can give the ghusl. And after the ghusl, the correct procedure is that the body mustn't even be brought home. And the body mustn't even be brought home. From the ghusl khana, straight to the qabrastan. From the ghusl khana, straight to the qabrastan. After the ghusl is given, kafan is given, and whatever family members want to see the face and read something, like you can do it there by the ghusl khana, or take it to the masjid. Obviously, ladies can't come there. Men will perform the janazah salah, and then you proceed to the qabrastan. If there's a facility by the qabrastan to read the janazah salah will be read by the qabrastan. And thereafter, the kafan must be made. The person must be buried. Now, for us who are attending the janazah, now what are the procedures for us? What must we observe? So, when we come to the qabrastan, first of all, we have a dua to recite when we enter the qabrastan. Now, that dua reminds us that we also going to be going there. Today we're driving in our own car, going to the qabrastan. Tomorrow we will be in that casket at the back of that janazah vehicle. In that kumbi, we're going to be transported to the qabrastan. People will carry our janazah out and they will pass it on, and then they will put it there for our final dua to be read, our final salah to be read, and then they're going to put us in a qabr. So that dua, and assalamu alaikum ahla diyari. Now, what does it say? We are greeting the people in the qabrastan. All inhabitants of these houses, ahl al-diyar, the houses, every qabr is a house because the person resides in there till the day of qiyamah. So that is home till the day of qiyamah. His body is there in the qabr for a while, then it decomposes, becomes sand, and but that person's body is there, his dust is there until the day of qiyamah, and he is. And from among the mu'mineen, from among the muslimin, and then what? So we say, Allahu bikum lahiqun. And by the will of Allah Ta'ala, we are certainly, most certainly, most assuredly, we are going to join you. Bikum lahiqun, we are going to join you. And nas'alullaha lana wa lakum al-afiyah, we ask Allah to grant us and grant you afiyah. And so what a beautiful dua that we are reminded when we enter the qabrastan that we are going to be there, one of the inhabitants and residents. We are going to be the residents of this qabrastan. That today we are residing at so and so very fancy residential number, or street number and street address. And tomorrow our address is going to be a number 76 or 584 West Park Cemetery or Nuclear Cemetery or somewhere, it's going to be just a number. And we're going to become a number. And they won't refer to us as by our name and surname. This is Janaza. Come, come, brothers, carry the Janaza, move the Janaza. And we're going to be called, addressed as a Janaza. And nobody's going to know us by our names and titles and doctor and professor, and nothing. You're going to be called a Janaza. And come, the mayit needs to move out, give way for the mayit. I'm going to say, give way for Dr. So-and-so. No, give way for the mayit. So what happens at the Qabristan also is very sad, that we are waiting for the Janaza to arrive, and people are standing around talking, catching up with stories, and doing business deals. And it's like a fish market. There in the Janaza room, it's like a fish market. People don't realize that they are attending a Janaza tomorrow, or even not tomorrow, even today, can be their Janaza that's going to be there. Would they like it that people are talking while the body is brought there to for the Janaza Salah? Then we stand and we read the Janaza Salah, and after that, and one of the bid'at that I introduced is that we pass the Janaza. We pass the Janaza on like a conveyor belt. No, the sunnah way of carrying the Janaza is four people carry the Janaza, one on each side, one on each corner, and then they rotate, so each one walks 10 steps, so they walk in total 40 steps, and then you pass it on to the next four people, and that's how you must carry the Janaza. But unfortunately, in today's time, like we say, that those customs that came along with us in our bags, we pass the Janaza on, the conveyor belt. It mustn't go like a conveyor, people must understand. And must announce it, that, brothers, we are taking the Janaza out, but we are going to make amal on the sunnah. We are going to practice on the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that four brothers will carry the Janaza for 10 steps, and thereafter they will transfer it to another four people, and they will walk. So we can practice on the sunnah. And we practice on the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We place the Janaza down, we read the Janaza Salah, then we make haste now to take it to the qabr. So in a hadith it comes that the person who attends the Janaza Salah, he gets the reward of one qirat reward. Now what is one qirat? In the hadith described that the one qirat is the size of Mount Uhud. Now this is just show us as an example that the reward is the size of Mount Uhud. But it can be much greater than the Mount Uhud. And Mount Uhud is very, very huge, and it's very long, it's kilometers in length, but this is just an example. So why is so much importance, why so much appreciation showed for a person who attends the Janaza? Because it is your brother, your sister in Islam. Make dua for them. And if 40 people make read the Janaza Salah, then that person is maghfoor, and Allah Ta'ala forgive that person. There's odd number of stuff, Allah Ta'ala makes maghfirah to this person. So we must attend the janaza salah only for males. We must stress only for males, because nowadays we find females also come to the Qabristan. They also want to partake in the janaza salah. It's not for the females. So attending the janaza and earning one qirat, tremendous reward for attending the janaza salah. Now, when you come for a Janaza Salah, now a person talks and he is unmindful of the Akhirat, so he's not going to get the full reward, because he's supposed to be there with, concentrating at what am I doing here, how are my amal, how are my deeds, am I ready to go in the Qabr today? If I'm going to this Qabr, am I ready for this Qabr? And am I ready to meet my Rabb? And am I ready to meet Munkar and Nakir? Am I ready for this year? And so I must prepare while I'm standing there. I must recite quls, recite some surahs, and recite some Quran Sharif for the deceased, for the marhum or marhuma. And then I must proceed now to the qabr. So proceeding to the qabr, going to the qabr to bury the person, also Janaza Salah, and then they all ghaib. Nobody is there to first in the qabr. So we must go to the qabr also to see that the body is lowered down, reminding us that we are going to be lowered in that grave. today we're wearing Gucci and LVs and all smart clothes, and tomorrow we are going to be there laying in the dust and in a normal coffin. So we have to go to the qabr also to get that other reward, to get the second reward, double reward, two qiraat that we get. And so because we need it, we're coming to, it is a responsibility of the community to bury and make ghusl and kafar and dafan of the fellow community member. And if nobody does it, then everybody will be sinful in the community. So therefore we are attending because we want to fulfill that farz duty, that farz kifaya duty that lies upon our shoulders. So we go to the qabr, and alhamdulillah, now we see that you know, in West Park Cemetery, in the old section, Allah shukr, they can't bring a grader in there. So people have to shovel by hand. And so it's one good thing is happening now. So because the old, the new section, not full as yet, but in the new section, they are using the grader and the front loader to dig the qabr and to fill the qabr up. But in the old section now, because the qabrstan is now full, so if your family members give permission for you to be buried in the same qabr of someone else, your father, mother, somebody else, then you are allowed to. So they used to dig the qabr 9 feet. Even a new section, they're digging in 9 feet. So the second person who goes in there, he'll be now 6 feet. And then the third person, I think, is going to be 3 feet. And so, like this, they are reusing a qabr. But now because of this year, the sunnah is coming alive again, where people have to throw sand and shovels by hand and using shovels to throw the sand inside. And because one sunnah was abandoned, they were throwing the sand with the front loader. And very disrespectful to the person in the qabr. So, and it's again the sunnah also. So, alhamdulillah, now the sunnah has come alive. People are throwing sand in the qabr with the shovels and by hand. And after that, make dua for your brother or sister. Make dua for them. The sunnah method is that you stand by the headside and you recite Alif Lam Mim Tal Muflihun, and then by the feet side, a dua for the deceased, the protection. And thereafter, we make our own dua and then we leave. So now we're coming back from the qabrstan with a lesson that today I'm going and I'm coming back. Tomorrow I'm going to go and won't come back. I won't come back. I'll be there now. People will leave me. My parents will leave me. My children will leave me. My siblings will leave me. And I'm going to be left alone there. What they're going to be fighting for? They're going to be fighting for my car, my house, my money, everything. But I'm going to be now fighting for myself there. I have to be fighting for myself, for my own akhirah day. My amal will come to my rescue. My family won't be able to rescue me there. And my money won't be able to rescue me. I can't say, no, I was a multi-billionaire and I had so much of money and property and gold and silver and everything. Can't you make a plan? And no, there's no plan there. The plan is what you made the plan for yourself before you died. That's the plan. That's the only plan it works with. There's no plan. You can't drive the malaika there. Those malaika, they come in a qabr to punish a person and let them save us. Those malaika are deaf, dumb, and blind. Their work is only to punish a person. Allah mahfazni. And the munkar and nakir, they are the most horrible looking. They come into the qabr and they scream out, "Marrabuk, who is your Rabb? And Madinuk, what is your religion? And Man hadha rajul, who is this person?" They show you Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now we think that no, this questions are so easy, I can answer them now. But when we go in the qabr, then the only thing which will make us answer correctly is our amal, our deeds. If our deeds were correct in this dunya, then we will be able to answer those questions very easily. And there's one story of one waliya of Allah Ta'ala. Her name was Rabia Basriya radiallahu rahma alayha. And she, when she passed away, the angels, they came to her in the qabr and they asked her, "Marrabuk?" And so she asked them that, "Where are you coming from?" Now they weren't used to this yet, that how somebody is asking us, this person is asking us questions. We're supposed to be asking the questions. We need answers here. So the Rabia Basriya, she asked the angels that, where are you coming from? We're coming by Allah Ta'ala. We're coming from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sent us to ask you questions. You're not supposed to be asking us the questions. Say, okay, so who is your Rabb then? Mar Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? Mar Rabbukuma, who is your Rabb? So, Allah is our Rabb. So, say, but you came from how far? So far, you came right there from the Asman, from the seven heavens, you came from there, asking me the question. You still remember who's your Rabb? I just came from here, just above here, 6 feet. How must I forget my Rabb? So they went back to Allah Ta'ala and they said, Ya Allah, now I don't know what to do here in the situation. That we are being questioned, we're supposed to be asking questions. Allah Ta'ala said, just leave, that's my special bandi, that's my special slave. Leave her to rest there. And so, those are special cases. And so, for us ordinary people, we have to answer those questions. And based on our answers, then we will, inshallah, be granted tranquility in the grave. Because this grave, what Nabi Sassam tells us, it's either a bed of roses or it is a pit of punishment, a pit of fire, and a pit of azab and a punishment of Allah Ta'ala. So it's how we make this qabr of ours. So to go after the janazah, to follow the janazah, is also a sunnah. And then this ittiba'il janazah, to follow the janazah. So when the janazah is going, we mustn't go in front of the janazah. We must go behind the janazah. Give respect to the janazah and go behind, follow the janazah. That's why the hadith says you must follow the janazah. So even if you're driving to the qabristan, don't drive in front of the janazah, the hearse. You drive behind. So to give respect to the janazah going to its burial place, its resting place. And always speak good of the mayyit. Even if the mayyit was a bad person, always speak good about the mayyit. Because if people speak good about the mayyit, then Allah Ta'ala records that person is a good person. And just because speaking good, and even if the person had very bad qualities, you make dua for the person, no, he was a very good person. You just make that dua. Oh, yeah, you know, he was a very good person. He had a very good heart. You know, he everybody has their good qualities. And nobody has only bad qualities. Everybody has some good qualities. So mention the good qualities of the person, and Allah Ta'ala will in that way will forgive the mayyit. And then we make, it is a sunnah to make, it is again the sunnah to read for the janazah, you know, isale sawab before the ghusl. Only after the ghusl is given, then you are allowed to send isale sawab for the mayyit. So many times the mayyit announcement is made before, and they put at the bottom there read three quls for the deceased. Surah Ikhlas three times. But now the person's ghusl is not even given, so we only allowed to read after the ghusl is given to the mayyit. So this is we just covered alhamdulillah one aspect of these seven things that Nabi Hassan mentioned that we must do. So inshallah we will mention the other point going forward, inshallah, what Nabi Hassan advised us to do. The second thing is yad to mariz and visiting the sick, inshallah. Next week we will cover that aspect of the hadith.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab. I was there at the cemetery, that site. I think it's just opposite there. Rawdatul Islam is the masjid, West Park Cemetery. And I think it was for probably in the past, it was like after long I went there, a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. And it really pained my heart to see that they were using a tractor. They couldn't, they said, mm-hmm. First they told us, whoever wants to put, just do the sunnah, and then afterwards we're going to use the tractor. And it, mm-hmm. because this could be your father, it could be your mother, it could be, they did so much mm-hmm. for you, yet we can't put mm-hmm. sand for them. And yet there are people who want to do it. So I'm not sure if Mufti Saab meant this is also in West Park. Cemetery.
G-Vesta.
So they're using the spades once again. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, because they're using the old covers.
Okay. Alhamdulillah, that's good news. Because first time I saw that, I think in COVID also I didn't see this. But I saw it recently and I was wondering why have we become just so lazy or what's the reason for this. So alhamdulillah, that's some good news. We will continue inshallah next week. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamualaikum.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.